How is everybody doing? Woo-wee. Vegas. So how many people, this is your first SPC? Wow. All right. And how many of you are old timers? Okay, good. Let's give the other people a round of applause. Welcome. So if I could get to know the audience just a little bit here, you know, don't mind the hands going up and down. How many of you, 3 weeks ago, your boss came into your office and said, I need you to be a SharePoint developer? All right, good to know. How many of you are developers? Okay, good. I'm going to show a little code. I'm going to try and keep this as introductory as possible. For a developer session, it's near impossible, though, not to show something to do with newing up a project and showing some code. Is everybody okay with that? Awesome. All right. Good. Welcome. The name of this session is, I want to be a SharePoint developer, but have no idea where to get started. My name is Steve Fox. If you feel like reaching out to me afterwards, feel free. My email address, stefox@microsoft.com. I'm on the road quite a bit, but I will try and get back to you. I run a group of worldwide architects. We do a lot of SharePoint stuff, a lot of cloud stuff. All the things that, you know, Scott Guthrie was talking about this morning, that's kind of main stage for us right now, which is very interesting. And certainly a lot of the SharePoint and other cloud things as well. The goals of today, twofold, very simple. Understand what it takes to get started. You are here, you're like, I don't know what this thing called SharePoint is. I've seen it lots of times, and hopefully I'm going to get a big fat raise when I start building these really cool web apps or web parts, depending on what version you're working on. And so the goal of this is to really just, you know, have you walk away with a fundamental understanding of what SharePoint is, and as a developer, how do you get started? What are the key things you need to know? What are the key skills that you need to ramp up on, right? Because you're going to learn all this stuff this week. How do you plot your subway map throughout the week based on what you need to do, okay? And so I'm going to cover off on a lot of the fundamentals, all right? So with that said, this is my agenda. Of course, fundamentals is right up there at the top. We'll talk a bit about the developer tools, right? So if you're getting started, what are the tools that I use? We'll talk about mainstream tools, and we'll talk about some community stuff and free stuff that you can use as well, okay? I'm going to talk a bit about programmability. So what are the APIs that I might use? You know, again, I'm going to have skills that I will throw out there that you guys will want to chase down. And I have one slide on common tasks because it's a fairly long deck and I didn't want to go too long. And we'll talk a bit about where to next. Okay? That's the agenda. Super exciting. Here we go. Are you ready? All right. These guys have been drinking up here, okay? They're making you guys in the back look really sad. Here we go, fundamentals. So what is SharePoint? Oh my God, the age-old question, what is SharePoint? It is a platform, okay? I actually think one of the best descriptors of SharePoint was in 2010 when they said it is basically a web-based platform, a collaborative platform for the enterprise and the web. That to me was really descriptive because that's really what it represents, this platform that's web-based that you can build some stuff on. Now the key thing is, inside of SharePoint, as you will see today, you have these things called site collections and templates and blah de blah de blah. These come default with certain site templates. Many of you know that who are returning SharePoint enthusiasts. Those of you who are new, this may be a new concept to you. Now, the thing is, you can basically apply SharePoint in so many different ways, hence the confusion, right? Because we take this collaborative platform that is websites with features and apps and lists and document libraries, and you can apply it in so many different ways. And so that's why I think it's a fairly broad-reaching platform. You can see here I've got BI. I firmly believe they should have a separate BI SKU for SharePoint because of the breadth of the business intelligence features. What you're seeing on the right-hand side is a Ferrari.com site that was built using SharePoint. Now, what you saw in the keynote, presumably you are on the keynote today, what you saw in the keynote is radically different from that, right? Team site in keynote, Contoso, Ferrari.com, paradigm shift, spectrum, end of spectrum apart. This is where heavy branding, heavy CSS, lots of features built into that, right? The team site's out of the box functionality, okay? So very cool, but you're going to be seeing it being used in very a lot of scenarios. So, and along the bottom there, again, you know, you've got this deck. I've given you the link to it, but sps.cloudop.net, that has a pretty good kind of set of examples of how SharePoint's being used. So if you want to just get some ideas, check out that site. It will help you to understand what other people are doing. So with that, let's go to our first demo. All right, in the first demo, really all I want to do is just kind of get those of you who slept in this morning and didn't go and see the keynote. Did anybody sleep in this morning and not go and see the keynote? Who's going to publicly admit it? One guy. I know about 10 others were with him last night at the table. So we have 10 liars, one honest guy. So this is basically Contoso. This is our SharePoint organizational site. Now, I'm going to be playing mainly in Office 365 today. So to be clear, there's two different flavors of SharePoint you'll see me engage with. One is Office 365, so SharePoint Online, the cloud. The other one, which I'll cover off a little bit on, is SharePoint Server. Okay, and that one looks remarkably like this. This is this nice remote desktop into a virtual server off in the cloud. But the point is, you're going to see me look at two different versions. But predominantly, we're going to play here. So you can see that I have this nice Contoso site. It's somewhat branded. It's got nice pictures. And it basically facilitates this point of collaboration, hence SharePoint, right? This place where people can rally around it. They can do lots of stuff. They can manage their finances. They can manage their expenses, their HR processes. Here you can see I'm going to click on finance. That will expose the Q3 and Q4 expense trends by month. My God, come to Vegas, see your expenses. Your boss is going to freak when you go back home, right? Am I right on that one? Mini bar. All right, so basically here's what we have. We have this site that allows you to manage a number of different facets of your everyday life. Now, there's no customizations here yet other than using the out-of-the-box web parts. Here we've got an Excel Web Access web part. Basically surfaces a piece of an Excel document. That's all this does. Again, for the people who've seen this before, this is review. The people who haven't, this is basically the way in which SharePoint works. We've got all these documents. Interesting, as we move from SharePoint 2010 to 2013, you're going to see a terminology change, if you haven't gathered this already. Everything is an app in 2013. For those of you who are in 2010, you had document libraries, you had lists, you had all these other things. They're all apps now, just different types of apps, okay? You'll see that again as we explore a little deeper into the session. And of course, I can go in and check out my annual financial report here, and you can see the tightly coupled integration between Office and SharePoint because they work very much hand in glove, okay? And of course, we can go beneath the scenes. We can have versioning and check in and check out and all that exciting stuff. Of course, it serves other departments as well. There's sales and marketing, not just finance, because someone has to make the money that you guys are spending, right? So this is sales and marketing. We can click on that. That will open up our sales and marketing site. And here you can see those typical functions and processes and artifacts that are specific to that sales and marketing discipline. We have lots of decks that talk about pricing guidelines and product overviews and all sorts of good stuff like that. You can see we have lists on the right-hand side. Let me just zoom in a little on that for the folks at the back. We've got announcements and lists, document libraries. Again, those are two different apps in the parlance of SharePoint 2013. Now, that's fine. This is a SharePoint site. Really, there isn't a lot of customization here. But that leads me, and you'll see this in the slides, that leads me to my first tip. Okay, I promise you three or four tips throughout. The first tip, as a SharePoint developer, always look to see if the functionality exists first before you go and recreate it. Okay? I can't tell you how many projects I've been on where I'm like, this already exists, you know? And it's been not the most pleasant conversation, and you don't want to be on the other side of that, right? You really want to investigate what exists, because then you can realize what you can take advantage of. And you can build some really compelling apps on top of that. Okay? So that's my first tip for you. Now, that said, this is kind of, like I said, a simple introduction. This is our first look at a SharePoint site. We'll come back and do a little development here in a sec. So that said, I want to just take a step back for a second and say, what makes up a SharePoint site? You saw this site, Contoso organization. Couple key things. There's a taxonomy that you want to keep in mind that's not necessarily explicit when you actually look at a SharePoint site. We have this thing called a site collection. So if you remember the Contoso site, we had all these subsites along the top in the quick launch bar, right? That was our site collection with all these sites. And of course, we have all these apps that you can add into a site or a subsite. Okay? Likewise, we have this taxonomy that you can have a subsite with a bunch of stuff inside of it. All right, with that said, an app can be of a type list, let's say a custom list. And a custom list can have list items. Each one of these can be accessed programmatically. Okay, as a developer, you can access this stuff. Now, as you look between SharePoint Server, which is the on-premises version of SharePoint, versus Office 365, you will find that you may use a different API, a different object model. You may have access to different things, right? So for example, in SharePoint on-premises, I can get at SharePoint object model. I can run as an elevated system account. Ooh, I can do a lot of damage like that, right? Running on the server. But guess what? That's one of the reasons why we're trying to evolve SharePoint into the cloud, to take nefarious code off the server and put it into the cloud where it's loosely coupled, as they were talking about this morning, okay? That said, this is just a quick taxonomy. If we think about the architecture, what sits beneath SharePoint? We've got Windows, ASP.NET, IIS. And of course, the boxes there just represent some things that are out of the box, right? I've got sites. I've got permissions and security that can assess against a site. I've got services, Excel services, business connectivity service. Oh my God, so many services. All right, content database, which is the major thing you'll want to keep an eye on. If that ever gets corrupted, you're in trouble. Content, et cetera, et cetera. And then above that, this is where you guys live. You are building apps on top of that. You are leveraging things like the list data, things like content and document library. You may access SP user, which is a particular user on a site. Then on the left and right hand side of this, you have tools. You're going to live in a certain set of tools, developing and deploying on top of, or, you know, with the new app model. And then on the other side, you'll have places where you will deploy these apps. Okay? Does that give you a fairly high-level understanding? I show you, then kind of give you the boxes. Everybody understanding here? Cool. Boxes are good. All right. So very, very quickly, this is an IT pro thing, but I always like to show this because this gives you an idea. If I were to build a SharePoint farm of medium size, this is what it might look like in terms of servers that I might deploy. Okay? I'm not going to go into too much detail because this kind of reflects those boxes, but then this says I've got web front ends that I would build that would house some of my SharePoint site. I've got app servers. I've got content databases. But it gives you an idea that there's a topology here that would have a small or a medium or a large, and there's various numbers of servers that would go into that. So as you're designing your apps, understand what that topology looks like. Work with your administrator. If you're in the cloud, then it's a little easier, right? You're trying to design around numbers of users and performance, and you're looking to a different set of metrics to adhere to or measure yourself against than something like this. But if you're on premises, make sure you understand what your topology looks like. That link right there provides you with a ton more variations on this very simple topology. That said, let's get to the good stuff. What is SharePoint development? Oh my God, you ask six people, you may get six different answers. How crazy is that, right? Now, the reason is because people call themselves SharePoint developers when they're doing different things. For example, I create a site, I add a little HTML. Hell, I'm a SharePoint developer. There's some code, right? Now, the guy who's building C# and dropping to Azure, he might be like, no, you didn't touch Visual Studio. And he goes, well, I built the HTML in Visual Studio, so technically I'm a developer. The point is, there's a spectrum, right? And who's to argue? If you think you're a SharePoint developer, all the power to you. When I look at this, I see there's different kind of levels of development. And I kind of look at segmentation across each of those languages or constructs, frameworks, whatever you want to call them. And I kind of come out from the kind of the view where if you're down there in managed code land, if you're building C# or JavaScript or whatever on a daily basis, chances are you are living a developer's life. You may be miserable, you may be happy, I don't know. But the point is, you are living that developer's life. And so when you kind of come in from the inside there and you say, well, I'm a developer, I'm building managed code, and you'll see me do some of this in just a sec. As you move out, I tend to think that you move from developer, designer, power user to end user. This is just a good construct to think about how people interact with SharePoint. That's not to say that if you're a designer, you don't develop, right? Don't get offended. This is just a personal classification because there's lots of people that engage in design work, right? They're designers. And there's people that maybe do multiple things here. A developer might actually go right across and develop and test and design. All the power to you. A lot of small companies have that type of consultant. So that said, all right, let's jump into customizing your first SharePoint site. And what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and temper the demos along that spectrum. Okay, so we'll start out with markup. All right, let's jump into, let's get rid of our Contoso here and jump into Contoso Bistro. Very fancy. So this, as you can see, or maybe not, is a publicly facing SharePoint site. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to add some customizations to this site. I'm going to develop. All right, so first things, you can see that while we've got this Contoso Bistro, you can see it's a restaurant site. If we click on About Us, you'll see that there isn't much there when it gets there. There we go, there's not much there. Contact Us, there's a little bit. You know, directions, we have an address, and so on and so forth, right? So we want to flesh this out a little bit. Now the question becomes, how do I do this, okay? First things first, page edit. That's the first thing you will do that a lot as a SharePoint developer. Now I've basically opened up my SharePoint site to add some goo into it, okay? Could be static content, could be images, could be videos, could be even inline script, whether it's JavaScript or HTML, as we'll see me do in a bit. Could be any number of things. You can see along the top here, I have this nice ribbon, allows me to do all sorts of wonderful things to content, as well as this guy right here, which allows me to insert, like I said, pictures and other types of dynamic content. All right, let's keep it simple to start with, and hopefully this will work. Given the fact that we're having some network issues, I'll go ahead, select a picture from the computer. I'll say browse. We'll go into my pictures document library here, or my folder in my local file. Let me see here. I don't know, gourmet food. That looks like a good one. I'll open up that one. Click OK. Now, what's happening now is Office 365 is pulling a JPEG off of my local folder. This isn't rocket science. It's going to hopefully add it to the site. There we go. Doesn't that look tasty? It's making me hungry. All right. So that's an example of adding some static content. And I could say this is, let's do this, hard return, this is 2 days special. Now I can see that you're incredibly underwhelmed. So let's save the page and move on to our next part of the demo. This just is an example that I have some rich text and imaging capabilities I can build into my site. All right? But it's important. That's part of our branding experience, right? It's the feel. You want people to come to Contoso Bistro. You don't want to put a ratty-looking sandwich on the front of your website. Nobody's going to come, right? Now, the other thing is, if we go down here, we can see that, hey, we can see the menu. Click on See the Menu. Oh, there's not much there, is there? So let's go ahead, and we'll jump into Visual Studio here. And I think this is my menu guy here. I've built an HTML. This is an HTML5 app. We go in, it's got some CSS. Again, in the spirit of being an introductory session, I'm not going to dive into a lot of this. I will make this available on my blog at some point in time this week. But this, in essence, is what it looks like. Okay? Kind of cool, funky, looks good. And you can see that it looks like a decent little thing. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to go in here, simply put, just grab this code, copy, and paste this bad boy. Now, here, again, page edit. We've done this once before, so now you're an official expert there. Insert, embed code, and I can go ahead and just add some code in there, okay? And so now that becomes this kind of nicer looking part of my SharePoint site, okay? Now, one of the problems with JavaScript and HTML, can anybody shout out what it is? All right, it's not necessarily connected, or it's, you know, it's difficult to manage. It's not necessarily in TFS if you kind of are running a dev shop. So it has its issues. But literally, if you want to just clean up and throw something on a site very quickly like this, it's very easy to do. And because you were in Visual Studio and we were using HTML, you can call yourself a developer. Bonus, all right? All right, so let's go back to about us. We don't have much here, so let's go and see if I've got something in my desktop that I can use. I want to add something else here. Let's go video embed. I want to add a video here into this guy. We'll go ahead, page, edit. All right, insert. Insert. Embed code again. Throw in the, oh, that's not the one I wanted. I wanted this one. Try and copy that this time. Embed. There we go. All right, and then we can save that. And this just tells us a little bit about what we like in terms of our music. And if you are not one of the 450 million people who have seen this, where have you been? Gangnam Style. All right, so now you're SharePoint developer Gangnam Style. All right. Okay. Let's go to directions. The last part I'll show you. I love that song, but the last part I'll show you is, what about if you want to maybe mash things up, right? It's not just about HTML, but it's leveraging other tools and SDKs. How can we begin to build that into our experience? Again, it's not managed. You're not in TFS. You're not source code control. But you want to have this experience that you're, you know, maybe making your site look decent, okay? So here, I've got this Bing Maps interactive. I got here by going to Bing and doing a search on Bing. And basically, that shows me, you know, a couple different things. On the left-hand side, you can click, and it basically loads different types of controls. But what you can do with that source code, you can take that source code here. Go ahead. Copy it. Yes. Copy it. Go back to our site. And I can go ahead, again, in the spirit of adding markup. And now we're adding script and markup. I'm going to go over here. Insert. Embed code. All sorts of good stuff. Click insert. And now what I have is I have this kind of mashup that allows me to show traffic when I want to go to my restaurant or this Contoso Bistro restaurant at One Microsoft Way in Redmond, Washington. And I go here and show the traffic, and you can see the current traffic. Look, I don't know if you can see it, but if you can see the green and the yellow, that's basically how traffic flow is going right now in Seattle. Okay, so this is a real-time view of traffic. The point is, using other types of APIs, SDKs, and tools, you can borrow stuff and mash up your SharePoint site. Okay, so don't always think that you have to build it. All right, of course, this is outside the context of you managing that code, but it's part of that overall experience. Okay, that's what I actually like about SharePoint 2013, is this ability to bring things together, which is really what web development is about. Okay, so that was the second demo. Just as kind of a recap, what did we show? We showed we've got a really funky looking special today, bacon on peppers, it looks like. B, we have awesome taste in music. C, we can add some directions there by using a mashup that lives outside of SharePoint but can be leveraged in SharePoint. And then finally, we can leverage HTML5 to build in some interactivity, some nice kind of menu here that looks dynamic. And of course, this has CSS and is nice and fancy. So that was the second demo here. We'll jump back to the slides. And I do want to spend a lot of time on demos, so you'll see me bounce back and forth. Okay? All right, so let's move forward. I talked about this particular developer tip. Again, it's in the deck. You can download it. But again, just reinforcing, look for the inbox functionality first. I know for the newcomers to SharePoint, you may not know all of the different features. Spend some time getting to know them, okay? Because it will save you a lot of time. Segway, developer tools. So you're now an official developer, SharePoint developer. Welcome to the club. It's a very passionate community. If those of you who haven't been to SharePoint Saturdays, I encourage you to go. Sometimes we do strange things, but it's always fun. You ever heard of SharePint? Yeah, you see? Case in point. All right, so browser-based development. I showed you a bit of this, right? HTML, JavaScript, you can kind of use that. Look and feel, they showed you that in the keynote this morning. I don't want to spend too much time here, But that's one level of development. Let's go one level deeper. There's a tool called NAPA. Now, this is an interesting tool, right? Because we have SharePoint Designer, which is kind of bringing forward as well in 2013. You can use that. And we have this thing called NAPA. Now, what NAPA is, NAPA is a way for you to build lightweight apps and rapidly deploy them to SharePoint. All right? Now, the nice thing is you can't really see it here. I'll show you when we kind of run through it. Is not only can you build this in the context of this NAPA app in browser, but you can kind of zip it open, and you can then use it inside of Visual Studio. So on the one hand, you have this rapid application development tool that's in browser, and it's basically an app that's hosted on Azure, which is kind of cool. And on the other side, whatever you build, you can pull into Visual Studio and then stuff inside your source code tree, which is very important, right? I don't want to take that away. You don't want all this kind of code just floating around, and it's not without its control or management. Okay? So what we'll do is we'll jump over into demo. Are you guys okay with me kind of jumping back and forth with demos? You like demos? Show me. Okay. All right. So if we jump back into our SharePoint site, let me kill this guy here, and we'll kill this guy here. Now, I didn't show you this. I probably should have. This is the SharePoint Admin Center, so this is where we go when you're first going to, if you're the administrator of our SharePoint site collection, you can go here and create a new site, right? How I got to this guy here, which is this guy here, was basically went into new private site collection, and that gave me the opportunity. Oh, you know what you have to do sometimes? You have to refresh your browser, or the security will say, like, hey, what are you doing? And so once this refreshes, you can then go back and just click it, and it'll open up again. Here we go. And I will go new site collection. And it should now load. There we go. And you can see here there's different types of site collections that run across core collaboration templates, enterprise templates, publishing templates, and so on and so forth. The custom tab is if you build your own site template with a whole bunch of your own apps that you want to deploy, that's the one you would use. And if you deploy it, it shows up here. Okay, let's say you have a special organizational finance template, all right? And of course you have quotas down here, and this is basically storage and resources and things like that, right? So you have a certain limit in Office 365. Now, if I were to just jump over just for a second, if you will entertain me here, and go into the SharePoint on-premises administration center, it looks a little different, right? You can see that this is the full FIREM experience. So again, you have a subset of your capabilities built into the Office 365 experience, and you have a whole kind of set of GUI here built into your SharePoint administration console for the kind of server side of things. All right, and this is full server capabilities. Lots of stuff there, won't go into it, but we'll jump back to building some solutions in just a sec. All right, so if we go back here, this was our site. I created a developer site to allow me to prototype and deploy very quickly, right? It's all part of that kind of prototype, see what it looks like, so you're not running malicious code on a production server. Here's the NAPA Office 365 development tools. It's a free download, basically a free app. I go in here, and you can see it's working on it. SharePoint's 2013 is very polite. Very polite. So here you can see I can add a new project, and there's different types of projects that I can add. So let me just get rid of that. App for SharePoint. Task pane app for Office, content app for Excel, mail app for Office. Now, 2, 3, and 4, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Visual Studio Tools for Microsoft Office System, one of the longest names in Microsoft product history, short form VSTO. Basically, this is the evolution of VSTO. It's very cool. Basically, what this means is we have thin client Office apps that can not only live in the rich client experience, but then can be reused in SharePoint and Office web apps. Very, very, very cool. Because imagine with this world of cloud coming together, you deploy a service, it can now translate across a SharePoint app, an Office app, and they can all kind of work together seamlessly in harmony. Now, what we're looking at up here is app for SharePoint, okay? So I'm gonna create an app for SharePoint. I'll say my second, my second app at SBC. Click create, okay? Now what happens is basically you get this in-browser palette, okay? Let me just expand these guys up here. And you can see that I've got all these different files that are part of this process that allow me to really quickly prototype an in-browser app, right? Now, you'll see here, this is not really managed code. It's like script and ASP.NET and, you know, that sort of thing, right? So for those of you familiar with that area, this is going to be super easy for you. You can just kind of, you know, whiz bang, create some stuff. Now, if I go into my desktop, I think I had some code. Let's go here and grab this guy here. This is going to be such an impressive app. You know I'm going to let you down, right? Here we go. So it's got some default code spit. So you could literally, if you wanted to, F5 it, so to speak, and it would run, and there'd be something that would run. But this is the default.aspx, and you can see here that we've got references to app.js. Okay, that's this guy right here. Now what that means is my script, my JavaScript, can be here in app.js. And when I deploy this guy, it's going to naturally put them in the right place. They'll find one another. Again, they'll live in harmony. And so here, if I go back to my JS, I'm going to grab a function here. Go ahead. Put it at the bottom of my app.js file. Okay. And then what I'll do is you can see it's got nice coloring on the actual code. It doesn't have IntelliSense, but at least you've got some use, in the back, just so you can see. Very simple code, right? GetBookInfo is the function I'm calling. And if you look at default.aspx, you can see GetBookInfo is that function right there. So let's go ahead. We'll F5 it here. This, I'm not going to do this, but you can see if you wanted to open in Visual Studio, you can. I'll go ahead and run the project. You can see it's uploading. It will package. It will deploy. And it will launch. Literally what it's doing right now, it's deploying it into SharePoint. So I could actually close this browser out once it deploys, and it's an app inside of my SharePoint tenancy. Okay? Now, again, this is going to be remarkably unimpressive code, but the point is I want you to get the idea of how this actually works, given the fact that we're in a fairly basic session here. Okay? There we go. So now it's launching, because it's installed, that code on the Office 365 SharePoint instance. And oh my God, here is the app. A lot of time went into the design of this app, okay? You ready? Checks in the mail. The point is, we've got some JavaScript, some ASPX that works together, okay? More importantly, the takeaway here, it's very easy to build and prototype some apps that can deploy it into SharePoint. If I go back to my SharePoint site, here we go. You can see that I should have somewhere on here, I go into site context, contents, there's my second app at SPC. You can see my second app at SPC. I'm not going to launch it. You know what it is. Okay? So that's kind of the first, you know, set of tooling that we want to talk about here, just to get some JavaScript apps in SharePoint. SharePoint Designer. Okay? I'm not going to necessarily cover this. Azar Vermani is doing a couple sessions if you don't know him. He's like the no-code king. He does a lot of this stuff, so I would just point you off to his sessions. He will give you a much deeper view into the types of things that you can do. What I will say, it is a developer tool and actually does have its value. Okay? You can build things like rules-based workflow. Okay? You can edit sites. You can build master pages. You can set default master pages here. So, for example, if I pop over here into my developer instance here, I'm running, again, this is SharePoint server. I'm remoted into a SharePoint server. I've opened up my SharePoint designer here against that particular SharePoint server. And you can see on this left-hand side, there's a bunch. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's try this one more time. Here we go. Plus is what you want to see here. These are all the different features that SharePoint Designer has. Now, SharePoint Designer is not really been augmented too much in 2013, okay? Take that for what it is. I'm not sure what the lifespan of 2013 or SPD is going to be, but there's still some interesting things that you can do with it, okay? So, jumping back to our slides, it's a free tool. You can migrate some of the artifacts that you do build inside of SharePoint Designer to Visual Studio, so there is some kind of play there. But in general, it's typically not source control. Now, Visual Studio, probably, how many of you use Visual Studio on a regular basis? with authority. I saw some hands go up. Get to it now. So Visual Studio 2000 and, the last release of Visual Studio, kind of all these numbers in my head mixed up, but Visual Studio had SharePoint templates. Now we've got some new SharePoint templates built into Visual Studio 2012. And there's some new features, such as remote debugging, right? So I've been showing you Office 365. I can build a remote debug against that particular version of SharePoint. I still also have all those nice project templates, item templates built into my Visual Studio experience for SPC, or SPS rather, so SharePoint Server. You have all the beauty of TFS, ALM, all that good stuff built into Visual Studio. So if this is where you want to live as a managed code developer, you should be using Visual Studio, okay? So that's a view of the actual templates. So let's jump over and actually take a look, okay? So a couple things. Let's open up Visual Studio. Hopefully, many of you have newed up a project. Roughly half of you put your hand up when I asked about Visual Studio. That means 50% of you don't use Visual Studio, okay? So this is Visual Studio 2012 Ultimate Version. Here you can see you've got a number of different project templates that you can use. In 2013, again, remember I said the new kind of vernacular is apps, right? Everything is an app. Now that's fine, but try and remember in your mind when you think about Office 365, everything's an app. If you still think about SharePoint Server, there's apps there, but there's other stuff that you can build. So for example, if I go over here, Office add-ins, this was the VSTO stuff I was talking about. SharePoint solutions, this is all kind of the, not necessarily the legacy stuff, but the on-server types of artifacts that you can build. Okay? So we have things like empty project. Who wants to take a guess at what that is? Right, just seeing if you're not planning your weekend yet. So empty project, you can take an empty project and add a bunch of stuff to it, okay? I'll show you that in just a sec. More importantly, though, we have these things called apps. This is where we have the new features and functionality for SharePoint. Okay? Click OK. Here you can see we have my SharePoint tenancy. I've got different types of apps. Scott was talking about this morning. He talked about auto-hosted versus provider-hosted. I'm going to go deep tomorrow afternoon on the difference between these things and how that world of Azure plays into this. But all you need to know is when I build something for Office 365, I can leverage these two types of templates to do that, okay? So let's go ahead. We'll build an auto-hosted app, okay? It'll finish and basically create two things for us. Okay, here we go. So on the right-hand side, let's just close these down just a little bit here. So you can see the two things there, SharePoint App 1 and SharePoint App 1 Web. Basically what we have is whenever you build an app in 2013, it's a .app, as opposed to a WSP or a feature when you're building it in SharePoint 2010, okay? What that means is if I were to go ahead and build this, all right, and it'll build, succeeded, and we'll go ahead and open this up in a file explorer, and we can go ahead and let's see, packages, I think it's in here, bin, debug, actually no, let's do this easier. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and publish, finish. And what this does, this actually creates the app package for us. And here, it's going to open up when it's automatically done. And I can go ahead and just change this. Let's go copy and paste. Change this to .zip. If you ever want to see what's inside of something, you just do that, right? And then you can actually see, I do not want to buy. All right, and you can see here I've got some artifacts here. There's some XML stuff. There's some SharePoint App 1 stuff. The point is it's almost got like this package of configuration file and libraries that goes together and is deployed. And as Scott was showing you this morning, part of this stuff, the configuration goes into SharePoint, and part of it goes, the code goes into Azure, and they need to talk to one another. And as he said, that's where the OAuth comes in. Now, what he didn't say is when you actually go ahead and look at the code, there's artifacts within basically your SharePoint site or your SharePoint code. And here you can see context token. This is basically SharePoint's version of the OAuth, all right? So you have configuration files over here in SharePoint land or Office 365 land, and you have code living over here in Azure land, and this kind of binds them together. And the thing you have to remember, it's not just kind of on page load, but events need to be tied into this OAuth. All sorts of things need to be tied in such that you have a token following the path of that app, okay? Again, any deeper, we'd probably get into 300-level discussions, but at least that gives you some sense as to the types of things that you can do. Now, if you go ahead, let's go ahead and open up a separate project that I've already created. I'll just show you a couple things. Open up a project. Let's go SPC intro. Not that one. I think it's D3. Not that one. D4? There we go. This is just a very simple app I built. Just goes to show there's a couple things here going on. First, I've got this nice little sales class. Everybody knows what a class is, right? Yes. Okay, one guy. Yes. I speak for everybody here. I've got a sales class. I'm basically using a list collection. You can see my page load method here. Again, I don't want to go too deep, but I'm showing you the OAuth, and I'm showing you, basically, I'm just creating something that I'm going to bind to a data grid. Okay? Now, how I get this into SharePoint, a couple things here. The one thing you want to make sure you do is you set the permissions on the app. So if you're reading, I can go ahead and just read at the web level. And depending on what you're interacting with within SharePoint, you have to make sure that you're providing permissions for that particular thing. So if it's BCS, make sure you put it here. If it's web, make sure you put it here. It's just read, whatever, right? We're just going to doing some, you know, in-memory processing, data processing, so it's not really a big deal here. But then I can go publish, right? That's going to publish that code. It's going to create that .app. I can then go ahead into my SharePoint site. I can go into, let's go back up to the top-level site. I can go, when it reloads, I can go new app to deploy, upload it, right? And I can find that same published app, that .app. I can just stick it there and click OK, and it's going to deploy it, okay? And then what happens is it ends up being here once you trust it. It ends up being here inside of your site contents. So I think the one I was actually doing this morning was this guy here, the Simple Sales app, okay? And I customize my app icon. You can do that too. Have some fun with that. Make it personal. All that good stuff. Okay? There we go. Ew. Fairly simple stuff. But again, illustrating the process that we have new templates that you can build and deploy into SharePoint. Now, the interesting thing, again, as you know, I don't want to repeat too much of what Scott showed you this morning, but you can not only build little apps, you can kind of wrap Chrome control so it looks like a native part of SharePoint, okay? So that's kind of the Office 365 part. How many of you are actually coding on the server out of curiosity? Okay, maybe 10%. All right, so just for those folks, I'll jump over right quick here. Now, for those of you who may want to know what all those templates were for, here I've got basically a project. It's a solution. I can go ahead, add new project. Here you can see, like I had before, I've got these different types of projects. I click SharePoint 2013 project. I can go ahead and add items to that project, okay? And so you have project level items and item level templates here. So it's web parts, lists, all sorts of good stuff, okay? I think you get the point. You build a project, you add something to it. The difference here, again, is you have access to a much broader set of APIs. So for example, if you look at one of these guys I've built, I'll go into my first event receiver and look at the code. And here you can see I've got some code that's basically interacting with what's called the server object model. Okay? And this is basically just going through, and when I add a document, it's going to call this function and then add an item to a list. Okay, it's just an event trigger, right? And so this is just an illustration, though, that I can take a code artifact and deploy it directly on my SharePoint server, and this is the type of code that you'll be working with. Again, I don't want to get sucked too much into the code, but I think you get the point, right? Different templates for different environments that integrate and leverage different types of APIs. Is that fairly clear? Okay. Good. I apologize if I'm going too deep in code. Let's jump back up. All right. I think I showed you how to build your first app. Now, there's some other interesting stuff, right? So if you do any branding, this is something called Expression Blend. Remember Silverlight? It's not quite dead yet. It's a little bit of a limp. But you can still do some Silverlight. There is a Silverlight media web part built into Office 365 and SharePoint, so you can still leverage it. For debugging, I actually like this. This is a tool called Fiddler. Anybody use Fiddler here? Yes, many of you. That's good. For those of you who don't, you can see network traffic, right? So let's say you're doing a JSON call, and you're like, oh my god, my jQuery is not presenting this in the UI. Like, what's wrong? You can actually open up your Fiddler, and you can see the fact that JSON is being returned, but there's some problem with your binding. Okay? Really helps you do some web debugging. So it's an invaluable tool. It's free. Then if you go to the Visual Studio Gallery here, and there's the URL for it, the community fairly regularly builds SharePoint tools for you guys. Okay, in fact, you guys build it for yourself too. There's some great stuff out there, whether it's advanced project templates. So in 2010, before Microsoft shipped a visual web part for Sandbox Solutions, the community had already done it. Okay, so in some sense, you're ahead of Microsoft, and you're able to publish stuff very quickly through this Visual Studio Gallery, which is great. Okay, so just a couple, three things. Number two, developer tip. All right, so this is from a buddy of mine, Andrew Connell, and you may not be able to read it in the back. I'm not going to read it verbatim. You have the deck again. But basically what he says is think about your options, right? When you're a SharePoint developer, you could think about it. You could put inline code. You could put Sandbox Solution, even though they're deprecating those as we move forward. So keep in mind they're going away at some point. Or you could do a SharePoint, you know, solution if you're working on a farm level. But just understand the requirements, understand what you need so you can pick the right options. Sometimes what happens is you pick the wrong option. When you only need a Sandbox Solution, you've built a farm level app, you don't need that. Okay? So just a good tip from Andrew. His blog's there if you want to go check out more tips and good stuff there from him. Programmability, you guys still with me? You still excited? That was so lame. All right. Programming in SharePoint. There's lots of things that you can do. It's almost overwhelming. And if you're a first-time SharePoint developer, if you're still getting over the kind of the whip of your boss saying, go learn SharePoint, you're going to emerge from this week just overwhelmed with all the things that you can do. But that's a good thing, right? That means choice. Ultimately, though, you have to be smart about those choices, right? So if you think about the different types of things available to you, different, you know, artifacts, services, you know, when I'm talking about services here, I'm saying, you know, timer jobs, Excel services, you know, the inbox services that you can leverage. The SharePoint server object model, you will only use this if you're building farm-level solutions, okay? Client-side object model and the REST API, you will use those if you're using, you know, client-side, you know, like Silverlight apps, or if you're using the Office 365 app model that I just showed you. You'll use that a lot. And, of course, I showed you some client-side script and markup. I think there's a PowerShell session. For those of you who are kind of admin-oriented, check out PowerShell. There's a ton of things that you can do with the PowerShell object model. It's much more powerful. I know there's a set of commandlets that you can get as well for Office 365 as well as for SharePoint Server. Okay? Lots of programmability. Now, I'm just going to mark down and kind of march down the types of things that you'll need to know. So if you're like, I want to know everything there is about SharePoint developer, like, down the left-hand side, these are the things that you might want to have in your toolkit, okay? So, for example, this is just an example of, in fact, I was showing you this a little bit. This is OAuth, but it's C#, right? So you have to have some knowledge of the .NET platform, preferably ASP.NET. That'll give you at least a grounding in SharePoint, but obviously there's some new things that you'll want to be familiar with, okay? Second of all, script, all right? There is a tremendous amount of development opportunity with jQuery, with Knockout, HTML5, very, very cool stuff, okay? So keep your eye on that and seeing how you can use that. This is just an example of basically an AJAX call. Above and beyond that, markup, right? So we've gone from managed code to script to markup. And of course, you may interweave these things, right? you may emit JavaScript and HTML within managed code if you're a really cool developer and you want to impress your boss. But here, this is markup, right? So you might have, in this case, this is XML. Can anybody tell me what this is defining? Anyone want to shout it out? Do you know what this is? Site column, exactly. This is a custom site column, a very simple one, but it's a custom site column. And then, of course, camel. And then there was silence. Who here has had the pleasure of coding with camel? I can see a couple craggly arms going up. Camel is basically collaborative application markup language. This kind of originally, if you think about legacy SharePoint, was about how do we query SharePoint in a language it can understand. And so this is an XML construct there that's kind of, you know, the red box. It's saying, hey, go out there, find these fields with ID title and so on and so forth, create my view, and I'm going to use that to query SharePoint. There are better ways, in my estimation, to query SharePoint, whether it's link or other ways. So just know that you're not necessarily relegated to camel if you do come across it, but it's good to be aware of it because it will pop up. You'll be like, what's this camel thing? You know, and then you can act really smart in front of all your colleagues and say, I know what camel is. Steve told me. So in terms of packaging, I showed you a little bit about the app. Now, since it was about 10 of you who said, you know, hey, I'm going to be deploying WSPs, I'm not going to go into it, but what I will say is if you build a SharePoint project template, it builds out a .app, and you see it's kind of a cab file with a bunch of stuff in it. A WSP is fairly similar, right? It's an artifact that SharePoint understands what to do with. It takes that WSP, it installs it. If you look at the file system, you can actually traverse the file system to the feature level directory where that feature is installed, okay? On Office 365, you can't really get to that server, that folder, okay? So just understand, in one place on the server, on SharePoint portal or SharePoint server, you'll be able to actually get to where the WSP is deployed, but on the other one, you can't. And the marketplace is really important, right? This is new to 2013, right? And so you can kind of sideload within your developer site, or you could sideload within a publisher publishing site, but really, the official way to do it is to drop it into a catalog or a store such that other people can actually manage the way to get that app. Okay? And you can become rich. Sound good? Nobody wants to become rich in here. Oh, my God. All right. No. So that, in essence, is kind of the ways, the different ways in which you package and deploy. Let me see here. I'm running about 4:40. Okay. I think I'm going to move on here a little bit, and I'll come back if I can show you another demo or two. A couple of tips here. This is from a guy named Todd Baginski. So who's familiar here with an app part? App part's pretty cool. In fact, why don't I actually show you that, because I like the app part. Basically, if you look at an app part, go into SharePoint here. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and open up Visual Studio and create a new project. Go ahead, create an app for SharePoint, SharePoint app 2, and auto-hosted. Basically what we can do is we can create this iframe. And I'm not a huge proponent of iframes, but they can be good to do two things. In the context of the development experience here, you can point off to another site and pull it in, or what you can do is you can point into a page that you create. So here I could create an app part that points to the default .ispx here, or literally what I could do is I could remove this, kill that, no I don't, go ahead here, add a new item, and you can see here is this client app web part, click add, and then I could select a URL and it would just point off to that particular URL and I could pull it in, and what happens invariably you get this experience that looks like, let me see this. And this is kind of a cool example. I'll load this up for you. And what this is here, this is a client app web part, working on it. There we go, it's a client app web part. It's pointing off to a jQuery MVC4 app that's using JSON and the visualization jQuery library. Basically, I was trying to put everything I could into a project to see what would work. And so you get this nice experience where this is living in an Azure instance, but it's being pulled in and leveraging data, but it seems and feels and looks like a part of the SharePoint experience. Okay? Now, again, you could self-reference this if you wanted to by creating, you know, an app here that basically just points to, you know, the default.aspx, and you could put it out there. But what that does for you, it kind of creates the Chrome and does all that stuff for you, right? Otherwise, you'd have to build that Chrome, you know, and kind of integrate it in some way, shape, or form within your default.aspx layout page. So that was a fairly simple example. So that's kind of unlike web parts, app parts were not designed to participate in app part to app part communication. That's because effectively, why is that? Does someone want to hazard a guess? They are iframes, right? So basically they're used to surface. Now there is a way to have iframes communicating. You know, you could do it in any number of ways. But they're not meant to necessarily communicate. Now the other thing I will forewarn you, I've seen this a lot with SharePoint developers, especially ones that are just learning how to develop in SharePoint. You go crazy, you build this site, and you have all these web parts. You're so enamored with like six web parts that are just doing all this stuff. But what happens? Who wants to tell me what happens? Right, choose performance up like crazy, right? So always remember when you're designing your apps, when you're designing these web parts, like you're maintaining and you're adhering the metrics that you're probably going to be handed as a part of your requirements. And don't overburden those web parts with too much churn. This is especially, I've seen the case with the sandbox solutions, but I've also seen cases where web parts have just brought the server down, right? A lot of cases, especially again with that server object model code with developers who are not sure, you know, because what happens is you put this thing into a spin, never comes out of it, your site's gone. And your administrators get very unhappy with you. The second point here, on that high note, the second point here is, you know, all about OAuth. So Todd says here, you know, OAuth is meant to authenticate apps, right? It's not necessarily meant to authenticate users. However, when using OAuth from a SharePoint app, you can also check some information out about a user. So there are ways to kind of tap into the API to learn about the user at the permissions level, right? Now, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the point is that was one of his tips. And you can go to his blog and get more information about what he's doing. Okay, last section here. Are you guys still with me? One down the front here. Yeah, I think so. Oh. All right. So I developed this list by talking to a bunch of MVPs who are out there doing a lot of SharePoint development on a day-to-day basis, right? And you know, so these are kind of the common things that you'll probably be doing. And I've kind of split this across 2010 and 2013, because it was 2013, the most common thing is you're going to build an app. But what does that mean? Everything's an app, right? So first of all, you're absolutely going to be creating and administering a site in some way, shape, or form, if not to test, to stage, and to work with administrators. You will be creating web parts. If you look at how many companies are out there today still engaged in 2000, there's quite a few. And the web part is the most common artifact that you will build. Okay? Data. So I had this question the other day. Okay? Maybe you guys can help me answer it. If I'm going to build a SharePoint site, should I be building a banking transactional site using list data? Come on, no yeses? No. Okay? Absolutely not. List data is great, but I don't think you'd want to be running heavy, complex batch processing transactions against list data, would you? Okay? So again, as you think about designs, does the data live inside of SharePoint or does it live outside of SharePoint? What are the load times to get that data inside of SharePoint? What that's going to do to the rest of my site, you need to figure that out, okay? So you will be doing a lot of list programming. SharePoint hosted apps, so lots of things like site columns, content types. I showed you a site column a little earlier on, but basically think about if you're going to build a site template, you'll probably have some customizations that get inserted there as well. deploy it. One of those will probably be a site column. Okay? And last but not least, branding and theming. There is a short list of people who are really good at building master pages. It is a short list. This is a huge opportunity. So for you aspiring SharePoint developers who want to spend weekends in front of the computer, branding and theming is definitely an interesting place. So I'll show you one more demo, okay, because we are running around 4:45, and I want to give you a few minutes to get to the casino. All right. So the last demo I was going to show you was I'm going to show you a little bit of code here. Let's go ahead and open up a project. Let's go into, let me see here. Let's actually go into SPC. I think this is this guy here. I just wanted to show you where there's this new API, for those of you new to 2013, underscore API, it's basically OAuth and REST. The new model, for those of you who know what OData is, does anybody not know what OData is? Okay, a few of you. If you go to odata.org, there's a whole site that'll explain it to you, but basically it's open web standards for how you interact with a site, a website. Here you can see that this core code is basically, it's got this URL right here, and it's, let me just zoom in a little bit on that, underscore API web list get by title. This is an implementation of OData, and you'll see this a lot as you build apps within SharePoint, okay? Now, the point of the demo was to show you list programmability, and what I'm telling you, this is probably one of the most common ways in which you will access list data, all right? So get familiar with the syntax, understand what it is. I know there's one or two sessions this week that will go over REST and OData, and we'll get you a long way to understanding it. Now, one other thing I will point out here, again, in the spirit of just saying, hey, it's not just about accessing lists, but it's doing it securely. You have to think about SharePoint apps in a slightly different way within 2013. Okay? Tokens have to kind of follow events. If you try and access SharePoint data and you're on a separate domain, SharePoint's like, uh-uh, can't come in. But if you have an access token that's granted from a trusted party, then SharePoint will say, come on in and read the list. Okay? Definitely something to just, again, ramp up on. And much like anything, I can go publish and deploy. And the end result is, let me see, I think it's over here. The end result, so if I go down here and go into site contents, I go over here, go into site contents. Everybody's working on it. Nobody's doing it. Here we go. And this is just a simple application that'll go ahead, and it'll get data from the SharePoint list. And it does it using, like, the OAuth, right? The nice thing about this here, this is just a hidden list that you can use to practice some coding. This is in the SDK. So if you want the code, it's already there in the SDK for you. Okay? So, fairly simple example, but shows you that if you think about the most common way to access lists, it will be through the API. Now, one last tip here from my friend Robert Bogue. A couple things. If you try and access a list using the title, right, and the title changes, what happens? Especially if you're using a string. What happens to your code? It breaks, right? So there are other ways to access your title. And so Robert says, maybe use the GUID or some other way. Don't use a string representation when you're trying to access a list. Again, for those of you who are new, you will come across this. All right. The other thing I'll tell you, if there's only one item, if it's a default list, there's one item, it's typically title, right? That's the kind of standard thing. You'll never be able to access that list in anything else other than the GUID or string title unstring, okay? It took me a couple days to figure that out, so I'm saving you a couple days of your life that you will get back, all right? The good thing about learning SharePoint is you typically learn it by coming up against the wall, okay? But it's a fairly rich community out there. They will tell you, go here, go there, you know, so there's some good things. There's good people out there who help you. So this is my sampling of what I thought was an interesting set of SharePoint dev sessions. You came here today to kind of get started. Hopefully you got that. I know we jumped into a little bit of code. Hopefully people weren't offended by that. You all good? Okay. I know that probably not a lot of you are super coders, but the point is, I showed you how to get started. We went through kind of the core things. We talked about programmability. We talked about tools. Office.com, dev.office.com is where you should go if you want to get started. But these are some sessions that I wanted to call out because I thought these were really interesting. Okay? So for example, what's new for developers in Office and SharePoint? They're going to cover all the cloud app models. Okay? A primer in HTML and JavaScript. So if you're new to that, definitely check that out. Because it's script, markup, jQuery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So with that, again, I gave you the link to my deck. We got a book coming out here pretty soon. But if nothing else, dev.office.com, that's the place to start. You know, SPC is a fantastic conference. For those of you, again, who are new to SharePoint, welcome to the community. It's a very enthusiastic community. Can sometimes be a little bizarre, but we love each other with open arms. And you're going to have a lot of fun, but enjoy the week, and thank you very much for your time.